An update on the RHI saga from yesterday. Renewable heat incentive payments to boiler owners here have, like the pellets that ran them, gone up in smoke under new regulations announced earlier this week. Annual subsidy levels for the most common type of boiler will fall from around £13,000 to just over £2,000. Those who signed up to RHI were promised this would never happen. They were given personal assurances by the then minister at the time, Arlene Foster. The payments were guaranteed for the life of the scheme. Those letters signed personally by Arlene Foster were sent to the banks to reassure the banks that they could lend, to reassure people taking out the loans that there was absolute certainty. Certainty was the word that was used. And we've been getting quite a lot of feedback about this over the last 24 hours of our coverage. William Brown is a local farmer who runs two boilers under the RHI scheme. William, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what's happened to you, William? Tell us your story.
I put in this first boiler in February 2015, and then I put a further one in later on, a smaller one, just to run my garage and my store and my house and our office and then my house. But the main one, the last one's very low use, but the first one is for my boiler house, for my bird house. And I believe what you're saying. I believed Arlene Foster's letter that it was guaranteed, and there was not, whatever contract I signed with Ofgem, which was the UK government, I really signed it with. I thought they would honour the agreement that I had. I didn't come up with the agreement that was forced. I was told what the conditions were, what the tariffs were, and I thought it was all right, and I went for it, the same as many other boiler or owner, both in the UK and in Northern Ireland,
And how much store, William, did you put in Arlene's name on that letter, her promise to you that over the lifetime of the scheme, there was total certainty?
Absolutely. I never doubted that there was anything that they could ever cut on that scheme. I thought, if it was a contract that I had with the government, they would honour, they would have expected me to honour the agreement that I had signed with them. And it was the same whenever I signed, I was expecting them to honour that with me. And I never came into my mind that they would ever cut us. And, I can understand how they went over budget because they mismanaged the whole scheme from start to finish. But I don't know whether that's my problem or not. It's not. And at any point have they ever sat down with the boilers and said, look, we're in trouble here. We've over-budgeted in this scheme. We've made a mess of it. We've really messed up. And could we come to some sort of arrangement and decide, how can we go forward with this scheme? An agreement to bring in some sort of cost measures. But not at any point did they say that. Everything has been imposed on us. We've had no say whatsoever as boiler owners to the changes. And they've done it again there. And it's just, I'm going to have to turn it off. I can't afford to run this thing. It takes more to run it in the year than what they are going to pay me. And then I still have to worry about everything else after that.
There were some people, William, milking this scheme beyond the spirit of what it was intended for. There were some people really, really taking the, out of us all. Heating empty sheds. We've heard all of those stories. But were you a legitimate businessman trusting the government? Is that who you were or what?
Yeah, I was. I think that all that information that was put across whenever this started hit your programme, and it was all being fed to you to make us look like the bad guys. Here, we're the people that invested in this scheme. We should know better. This was far too good. I don't think it's that really good. The rate is one of the lowest in the UK at the time. In fact, it's a third less than, as I said in the programme last night, it's a third less than it was if I'd been in the UK scheme. And the truth is, whenever that was applied for, I said to a guy, he says, why am I not getting the UK scheme? I don't like this scheme that they have in Northern Ireland. I want the UK scheme. And there's nothing I could do about it. I had to take the Northern Ireland scheme. Because Northern Ireland decided, we're going to take this scheme from the UK. We're going to alter it. We're going to change it. We're going to make it into a Northern Ireland scheme. And they altered the whole thing so badly that took off, and then they didn't look after their cost controls, and next minute we're looking at an over budget. And if they'd went back to the UK and said, hey, we messed up here, or even Ireland, whenever she was getting her deal, said, we messed up here, we need an extra 20 million a year here, the UK government would have got it. Because you have to remind us, the UK scheme is still under budget. They've got a billion a year to spend on RHI biomass, we get somewhere around 30 million or something like that, and the rest of the UK gets 790 million. So you know, they're still under budget over there. The scheme's still going on. It's just our scheme has been blew out of the water, you know, just due to no cost controls. So, no, I don't know. Listen, if I'd have thought of the scheme, I'd be responsible for it, and I would admit to it and deal with the consequences of it. But the civil servant here just seemed to just want to blame us as people that put the burner in as the bad guys. And we're not. We're businessmen, and we're farmers. My goodness. Don't even call a farmer a businessman, but we're farmers, you know, so...
The Department for Economy are essentially saying people like you have got enough money. They sent us in a statement last night, and they essentially spelt out. They said, look, the objective of this scheme was to encourage the uptake of renewable heat technology. They said most participants have already received RHI payments greater than their original capital investment in a biomass boiler. They say the average capital cost of a boiler on the scheme is approximately 35,000. Mm-hmm. And they say with the average participant receiving over 50,000 in RHI payments by the end of March 2019, with a further 35,000 by the end of the scheme under the long-term tariff. So they're essentially saying, look, 85 grand in total, the boiler costs 35 grand. Now, what I've suddenly noticed here, just here's where my brain is going. See the way they say that the statement from DfE, saying the average capital cost of the boiler is 35 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Have they added in the costs of installing the boiler?
No.
Or if there's any groundwork, or you have to buy pipes, or you have to change your shed, or you have to do all of that subsidiary work?
No,
or are they just quoting the cost of the boiler and not the additional works to put it in?
No. The bin is £5,000 that feeds the pellets in, so there's another 5 grand. The system in my house was 17,000 in my chicken house to put the pipes around the walls to heat
the
house.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to the department. We'll get some of our team to go back to the Department for the Economy this morning and ask them, when they've talked about the cost of the boiler, does that include all of the works associated with it? Or are they just putting out the hard cost of just the boiler?
Yeah. And Stephen, ask them how much money they're actually sending back next year to the UK. You know, how many million is it? 27 million that they send back. You know, find out how much, dig in and find out how much they're actually sending back, because they're only going to spend 4 million on the scheme next year, and it's a £30 million plus budget in Northern Ireland. So what are they doing with the other 27 million? Obviously sending it back, like, so.
What about the fact that in Arlene's letter, she did guarantee that things wouldn't change, and that's now not true. But she did say in her letter, a rate of return is also included on the net capital expenditure to ensure the renewable energy technology is attractive to investors. The rate of return has been set at 12%, she said. So they were making it clear what the rate of return would be, and those inflated tariffs at the time were much more than 12%.
Well, I think whenever any scheme was set up, that was their target. Any of the UK schemes' target was, as I understand, was that rate of return. So should have been the UK scheme said, right, we're putting a cap on the thing, we're not going to let it burn any more than 130,000 kilowatt hours. We'll allow you a bigger burner, which will get you a bigger amount of rate, but we'll set the rate at 9p. Northern Ireland says, no, we'll give you a smaller burner, we'll let you burn. There is a limit, because it's a limit of the capacity of the burner, so I don't know what it is.
Arlene Foster, you know, promised you, quote, certainty. She said there's a guaranteed support level for projects.
Yes.
She told you it was for the lifetime of your scheme.
Yes.
And she said that was regardless of future events.
Yes. That's right. But they broke that contract, didn't they? And the government tried, in the UK, they tried to break a contract before, and maybe somebody has mentioned that in your programme. They tried to break a solar agreement where they had paid a very, very good rate for solar on people's roofs in England. They decided, oh, this is far too good a payment. We're going to cut it in half. Friends of the Earth took up the case. They went, they beat the government. The government took it to the Supreme Court, and they beat them again. They had to pay all the money back to the solar owners. Plus, they compensated the companies that had actually stuff sitting in their sheds to the tune of 93 million. So two cases were won whenever the government tried to cut the rate before, and there's precedent set there. And I'm scared that at some point this is all that come back to bite the Northern Ireland government. Not only will it cost a fortune in lawyer fees, but at the end of it all, they'll be proven to be to be that we were right, like we had a contract, you know, and that's sad that that's where a guy gets. Could it not be better? I mean, I'm saying that just personally. Would it not be better to sit down with us now, sort it all out, come to an agreement with the burner owners, rather than all these courts, all this hassle, all this thing, set it down and sort it out. And I'm sure that will not be popular among other boiler farmers. But I personally think...
The counter-argument here is that you were promised 12%. And when you were getting bigger money than that, that's not what Arlene Foster guaranteed you. She promised you 12%, a rate of return.
Stephen, I was using gas before I joined this scheme. So, you know, we're talking £8,000-£9,000 worth of gas. And I was burning it inside my house. My gas burners were 700 kilowatt. I could turn on my burner the day before, my gas the day before, and my house would be up to 32 degrees. With biomass, I'm sitting with basically near enough a hairdryer sitting out in the shed because it's 99 kilowatt. Everybody thinks that's a lot, but most people have more than 99 kilowatt heat in their house and an oil burner. And it takes 5 days for my house to heat up. 5 days, like. And everybody says, oh, they're heating empty houses. I have to heat my house 7 times a year because it takes 5 days for my house to reach to 34 degrees.
If you were a business in Northern Ireland, or you were a business outside of Northern Ireland thinking to come into Northern Ireland, would you ever trust the government again if they issued you a promise?
No. And I would. And there's a similar scheme being started in the Southern Ireland. What, the £20,000 a burner return? You know, they're throwing £20,000 per installation at a grant scheme in the south. Are they going to turn around in 2 or 3 years' time and say, "Huck, look, 20,000, you know, that's too much, really. You know, 2,000 would be enough." You know, I don't think they would do it.
I think some people have been saying over recent times the danger here is the reputation of Northern Ireland, that when it issues a promise to its own citizens and then breaks it. Yeah. Now, let's also talk about Sinn Féin. Mm. They actually want the whole scheme scrapped completely.
So they
want all of your payments stopped.
Yeah, and they want to hand all of the money back to the UK. Yeah.
Despite them knowing that written promises were given by a government minister at the time, they just want all of your payments stopped.
Yeah.
Now, Peter's in West Belfast. Morning, Peter.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you make of this?
Stephen, I'm just wondering with a written guarantee to the bank, it sounds like Arlene Foster was doing guarantor for loans. And I'm just wondering, if I'd done guarantor for you for a loan and you couldn't pay that loan, what would happen? It would come to me, wouldn't it?
Well, look, I'm not a lawyer, but if I was acting on behalf of the BBC in my role, then you probably wouldn't come after me. You'd probably hold the BBC accountable, morally accountable. Arlene was acting as a government minister. So she was acting in her capacity as a minister.
Yes, but it was her signature on the letter, wasn't it, individually?
It was. It was a personal letter from Arlene with her name on it, and she was using her political name, her political position to reassure the banks that these payments were certain. Now, you could argue that no one foresaw the RHI debacle. Despite the fact that she was minister, you could argue on her behalf that she didn't foresee what then played out.
Why do you think, Stephen, that she actually put the thing out in the press at the start? Why did she give the banks that? Because there was no uptake in the scheme that she was running. And it was looking as if the first 2 years there were nobody even interested in this scheme. And she was trying to kickstart people putting in burners. And that's why she came to the banks, because nobody was even... If this was such a good scheme, why was everybody not rushing in for the first 2 or 3 years? Why did it take 3 to 4 years before it really kicked off? And then whenever they told everybody it was closing, next minute... Everybody, every man, woman, child seemed to want to ban a burner because they thought this was a great scheme. But for 2 years, nobody had touched this scheme. And that's why she went to the bank, to actually convince them to lend money. If somebody comes in, you lend them money because we will guarantee the return on that money. You know, so this is not as good as... Everybody thinks it's a fantastic scheme. I wish I'd never seen it, honestly.
William, thank you. Peter, go ahead. Okay. You can finish your point.
No, I was just thinking that if it was an individual who has given a guarantee for the thing... That the banks would go after that individual who was guarantor. Now, also, you're saying about the banks or the scheme there was... Arlene Foster was responsible for the changes to the scheme, so it's not like she was somebody that was outside of setting up the scheme. She was the minister that set the scheme up and made the changes which caused all the problems in the first place. She's actually guilty of setting up an environmental scheme that was bad for the environment, irrespective of the cost, which is kind of incompetence-like.
Well, she would say her officials didn't tell her, and we've been through all of that malarkey before. I think this is a different story today, and I've been saying this over the last 24 hours. I do think you should all have an opportunity to comment that when any politician gives a written guarantee, never mind a written guarantee, when any politician promises you something, whether it's verbal, it's in their manifesto, or in this case, it is a written guarantee from a government minister, if that is then broken, I think you should all be able to talk about that. That's part of our democracy. Because where does it go if that, if there's not commentary around a broken promise, which is leaving some people, they're telling us, bankrupt, facing bankruptcy. So what would you say to Arlene this morning, Peter?
I would say you're going to be facing some future cases, because any man that loses a business as a result of this scheme and the guarantees that were given by that minister, the minister who set up the scheme, I think she has to be culpable for it.
And yet she also has to protect public money, doesn't she? And
well, she wasn't thinking that when she made the changes to the scheme, Stephen. She didn't worry about public money when she was the minister that differentiated the scheme from the scheme in Britain. I mean, at what point is she responsible?
Well, Arlene would say that she was acting on the advice of her officials. And don't forget the big minds that you're all paying for within the civil service, who were crunching the numbers on Arlene's behalf, who were interrogating or should have been interrogating this scheme. You know, the civil
Is the minister responsible then? At what point is the minister responsible then? Because they all have advisors. So ministers are never responsible. We'll tell you, see what Sammy Wilson was talking about Jonathan Bell. He says he was the minister in charge. So the buck stops for him. He's responsible. Why doesn't that apply to Arlene Foster?
Peter, thank you. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Stephen. No, it was the gentleman you're on saying that he's using the burner. Is he still there?
No, he's just gone.
My question was, there seems to be mixed messages coming here. He said on your show not long ago that it's coming to the stage that he can't afford to use the burner. He's going to turn it off. And yet an expert on Monday or Tuesday on the television said that there is nothing cheaper than wood chip burner. Gas is dearer. Oil steer and electric steer. He says, so this is still the cheapest form of burning. So if he's going to turn it off, what form is he going to on till when he hears the experts saying that wood is the cheapest? You know, what does he want to heat it for nothing? That's just the question I'm going to ask him.
Thank you, Bill. Jim in South Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Hi, Stephen. The question, the fellow before me has answered it, I suppose. This was a good scheme to start, but too many people jumped in. And the reason they jumped in was to make money. They speculated, and it's gone down the tubes. So they need to suck it up. They're businessmen, they're businesswomen. It was part of a business scheme.
But the point, surely the point here, Jim, to this story, is you're saying, look, what businesses do is they speculate. And you're dead right, right? That's the risk in business. I'm in business too, right? You buy something, exactly. You invest in something, you go for it, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, and that's
and
profit
sure
and loss. Now, hold on.
For funding at the start of this.
Hold on, Jim. But here's the point.
But
Jim, here's the point, right? So you're saying it's about speculation.
Yes.
But the government minister at the time, nobody forced her to do this. The government minister at the time wrote into a letter that they were providing certainty, her words, for investors. And she chose the words. Now, she said it was drafted by her officials, but she signs a letter that's her putting her name to a letter, right? And she told these investors that she was guaranteeing, that's the word she used.
That's right.
A guaranteed support level for projects for their lifetime, regardless of future reviews. Now,
support level for the lifetime of the scheme.
Yeah.
Now, Stephen, listen, how many times have we heard ministers from all over the UK and Ireland guaranteeing things? And it goes down the tube. Listen, You and I know...
Doesn't make it right, Jim.
Everybody knows it. If there's something that's too good to be true, it's too good to be true, Stephen. There's no getting away from it.
I'm sorry. Fair enough. But I think there should be a lot of public scrutiny when people make investments based on solid letters, not written to your granny, written to financial institutions, banks, promising them that the government was guaranteeing it.
Listen, the bank has promised me during the years when I was in business many things, you know, just to get in business. It didn't let me down. And same with thousands of others. Stephen, it doesn't matter. Look, if it's a business deal, it's went wrong, and nobody's losing. They're just not making the money they got.
Well, what we're now interrogating with the Department for Economy is that when they put out a public statement yesterday talking about the cost of boilers at $35,000 and comparing that to the payments made back to the RHI applicants, had the Department for Economy factored in all of the... There's no point having a boiler and it's sitting in your roof space doing nothing. So I want to know if the Department for Economy have fronted up with the total costs of installing a boiler. And I think they're putting together a statement for us now. Stay there, Jim. Here's another Jim in Saintfield this time. Morning, Jim.
Good morning. I'm listening to you there about talking about the investments and so forth. If I'm not mistaken, there was a Presbyterian Church Investment Society. Now, I can't remember the correct name of it. It went belly up. And who actually turned around and decided that government should refund the money to those investors. Now to me, that doesn't make sense. If I invest in something that's, put money into some form of a money-making process and it goes haywire, well, that's my loss. But why then do they turn around and say, on one hand, we're going to do this and have done that, refunded money there, whenever they shouldn't have?
But nobody's lost anything. You've still got the boilers. You can still get your pellets. It's cheaper than oil, gas and anything else. And they're not lost. They're just not making money.
And Fred and Dremore. Morning, Fred.
Hello there.
Go ahead, Fred.
Is there any wording of this thing for life? For life of what? Was it the life of the scheme, which could close if there's a change of government? Was it the life of the boiler? I know an article was made and early models were faulty. So the part that gave the trouble, they replaced with another part and said it was guaranteed for life. But there was no mention of how long the life was, and when they gave up, you just replace it. And it seems to me that farms are getting the main blame for this. But what about large industrial places that use it too? I was in a large complex in the Belfast area 2 years ago, and it was quite a warm day, and I was passing one of the buildings with one of the staff and I heard a fan blowing, and I said, is that the paint shop? No, he says, that's the burner, that's the only thing that makes money around here.
Well, and we heard many of those stories before. Okay.
Well, I agree with the person that's the same as what it was.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, sir. I want to leave it there if you don't mind, but thank you very much.